Hi, I'm Mark Brody, and this is the Friday Newscap Podcast. Each week, we review the biggest stories with experts, reporters, and commentators to put the news in perspective. Here's this week's episode.
It's hard to describe how I feel in this moment, but I see it in the eyes of my family and all of you, and I promise I might be the first, but I will not be the last.
What we want is pretty simple. Like, we want government to stay open, and we want to answer what people are really telling us that they're worried about, which is the cost of healthcare going up.
Most of the emails I get are very positive. They're very thankful that I've ran this bill, and I'm giving parents another tool to help protect their own children, because at the end of the day, it is the parents' job. It's not my job to protect their kids.
We've never had a president that has spent his time thinking about how he's going to use the Department of Justice to go after political enemies. We've never seen this in our country's history.
The hockey community in this state is committed to bringing the NHL back to the desert, and I look forward to helping to make that a reality.
And joining me to talk about the results of a special election in a southern Arizona congressional district, a lawsuit challenging a new state law related to a Scottsdale-based business, and more are Daniel Scarpinato of Winged Victory Agency. Daniel, good morning.
Good morning. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. And Jason Barraza of Veritas. Jason, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Thank you.
So, Jason, let me start with you with the special election in the 7th congressional district. This was held for a long time by the late Congressman Raul Grijalva. His daughter, Adelita Grijalva, won that election. Not much of a surprise, but I'm curious if there are any lessons in what we saw in the vote that we can carry forward with us.
The lesson here is that when you have someone who is that connected to the community, how do you knock that person off the pedestal that they're on? Right. That this was not we knew that Adelita was going to be come out victorious in this race. That was no surprise. It has been waited for by the Democrats nationally. You know, she's going to be able to bring more strength to them and lessen the impact that the Republicans can have in Congress. So it's a good win all around.
Daniel, a lot of, you know, political pundits and all look to special elections often, especially after a presidential election, to look for signs for what might be coming in the next year. Is there anything we can take from this, or is it such a heavily Democratic district and, you know, the daughter of, you know, of the person who held the seat and somebody who had been in public life herself? Is there maybe not much that we can take from this lesson wise?
There's not much we can take from it lesson wise. I think in many ways this was more of a legacy seat. What I will say is, in a prior life, as I've mentioned on here, born and raised in Tucson. And when I was a reporter for the Arizona Daily Star 20 years ago, Adelita was starting her career on the Tucson Unified School District Board. I don't know that I probably agree with her on much in terms of public policy or politics, but I think she's a lovely person, and I'm very happy for her. And what my hope is that even though she is a progressive, that she's kind of less of an AOC, less of somebody who's, you know, going on cable news and focused on Twitter, and that she actually is someone who's serious about policy and partnering with people like Juan Ciscomani, who's a Republican who represents the neighboring district. I think she actually could really be part of the solution to our politics today, and I'm hopeful for that, because I actually think she is a serious person, and I think we could use more of that in our politics and with the folks representing our state in D.C.
Yeah, Jason, I'm curious, what kind of member of Congress do you anticipate that she will be? So obviously not sworn in yet, and there is some controversy over when that might happen. But I'm curious, what kind of Congress member you think Congresswoman-elect Grijalva might be?
I think she's going to be a strong member of Congress. I do expect her to be, to your point, Daniel, a little bit quieter at first, because I would expect her to be more of a learner first. Let me see how this process is going to work. She knows that she is going to be in that seat for a long time. Mm-hmm. She is going to hold this seat for a long time. She has time to make an impact. So she doesn't need to rush out. To your point, I don't think that she's going to look to become the firebrand from that seat, because she could do a lot of work and a lot of good for Arizona, for the country, for the Democratic Party from that seat.
Any significance, Daniel, to the fact that the state's delegation is whole now? I mean, it hadn't been. It had been missing someone for quite a while now.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think we need good representation. We need good people out there. She has not been a bomb thrower. You know, people do get Potomac fever. It's a real thing. So here's hoping that she can be part of the solution. And like I said, you know, she is a progressive, but there's so many issues facing the state and the country that just are not partisan. And I think it would be good if we could get back to that.
Daniel, let me stick with you. This week, Governor Hobbs appointed Jimmy McCain, the son of the late Senator yep. John McCain, to the Arizona Board of Regents. You obviously served with Governor Ducey, so you're familiar with the process of figuring out who should be on the Board of Regents. I'm curious what you make of this appointment.
So I don't know Jimmy well. I do know members of his family. I know his mother very well and his sister. I think it's fair to say he's from a good family. He's served his country. He has an impressive educational background. I don't know him and I don't want to get inside his head. I suspect some of his endorsements, like in the 2024 election, had more to do with the politics of the moment, some of the issues back and forth between the McCain family and President Trump. I actually think he's likely a conservative in his heart. And so from my perspective, I think this is probably the most conservative pick that Republicans could hope for from Governor Hobbs for the Board of Regents. I think he's exactly the type of individual who we should want engaged in public service and certainly a board that's focused on our institutions of higher education. He's more than qualified. So to me, he seems like somebody who would be a great addition to the Arizona Board of Regents.
Well, he pretty well famously said that he had re-registered as a Democrat, though. Mm-hmm. Like, so do you still think that in his heart he's a conservative?
Again, I don't know him, but
sure.
that would be I think that, you know, there's a lot, we've seen this. There's been a lot that's happened politically the last few years. But, you know, I think given the family he was raised in, his background, you know, I don't think he's somebody who's going to go on to that board and be a partisan. I think he's somebody who's going to be serious. And you don't serve in the military and have, you know, the family he has and not be serious about these things. So I think, you know, I've not known for coming on the radio and praising picks by Governor Hobbs, but I think I think this is a good one.
Jason, what do you make of this selection?
I think it's a good pick. I also don't know Jimmy very well, but I would say that I think he's going to be capable of doing the job. I think it's a pick that should be considered. I think the real question here is the previous pick, Liz Archuleta, was there for a year, was never, you know, brought forward in the legislature for confirmation, and her term expired. What happens 1 year from now? Mark your calendars on what's going on. Will this have been acted on, or are we going to be in a similar situation?
Well, here's what I would say to that. First of all, what I like about this pick is Liz Archuleta was very much, you know, someone aligned with the progressive liberal politics of Flagstaff, a politician, you know, deeply engaged in DEI policies up there. And so it was much more of a political partisan pick. I think that what is great about this one is it doesn't feel that way. And, you know, a year from now, either, you know, we'll be in the midst of an election. I don't know what the Senate is going to do. But I think that what we've seen is with the check and balance from the state Senate, it has very much moderated the picks by Governor Hobbs. A lot of the people she's now choosing as agency heads are former Ducey appointees and employees who were actually dismissed in a very political way when she first came in. So I think what we've seen is exactly what voters want, which is some balance. And so by the Senate doing their work, it has resulted in, rather than, you know, a very progressive politician from Flagstaff being on the Board of Regents, potentially the son of John McCain. And I think that seems like a win-win for Arizonans.
Well, so Jason, let me ask you about what you're bringing up in terms of Jimmy McCain needing Senate confirmation. There's obviously some bad blood between the Arizona Freedom Caucus members and the McCain family. Daniel referenced that earlier. Do you think that he has anything to worry about in terms of getting confirmed by the state Senate?
I think he does. I think that any nominee from Governor Hobbs is gonna have an issue at the state Senate. I think that they've purposely created a system that will do that.
They did appoint her. They did confirm her other appointee to the Board of Regents. So I don't think it's been unilateral. There's, like I said, I mean, there's some fabulous people who have been installed of late. Katie Patak, who now runs the Department of Child Safety, again, somebody who served in our administration. Michael Weishart, who had been at DES under our administration. So there's a number of people who I think have been confirmed. I think it's the people who were kind of the more extreme leftist type nominees who initially were rejected. And since then, we've seen, I think, people who are more interested in governing. And I think that's a good thing.
Well, so, Jason, I guess given what Daniel said earlier about Jimmy McCain being a serious pick, you know, sort of a policy person, not a partisan, does that give you any optimism that maybe his nomination will not face the kind of challenges that you seem concerned about?
No, because I think that the name is going to muddy the waters. The McCain name is something that is cherished here in Arizona. To your point, the Freedom Caucus hasn't necessarily had a good relationship with that name. I don't think that they're looking to mend ties between the McCain family and the Freedom Caucus in order to benefit Governor Hobbs.
Jason, some more developments this week in the story about Scottsdale and a proposed Axon development. That's, of course, the company that makes tasers, among other things. A citizens group has sued to try to block a law, and that law blocked a referendum on the city allowing this development to go into effect. The big issue here seems to be apartments that Axon wants to build as part of a headquarters and hotel and other developments up in North Scottsdale. I'm curious, like, what you make of the fact that the city kind of punted on whether or not they were going to sue. So now this private group has taken up the mantle and said, OK, we're going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, this is a great example of where you have a difference of the local jurisdiction isn't necessarily in line with the community that is surrounding that, right? I think the local jurisdiction is looking at development. They're looking at increasing the economy that's going around in the Scottsdale area. And they have this wonderful mixed-use development that is coming in that companies, that business wants to develop in the area. But the local community group is railing against that. So how far, how many resources is this community group going to be able to bring to the table in order to throw up as many roadblocks as they can?
Daniel, how delicate of a balance is this if you're a member, for example, of the Scottsdale City Council in terms of you have people in your city who are clearly unhappy with this development, but at the same time, there's always the risk that if you say no and block it, Axon, like they've had offers from other states to come move there. This is a homegrown company that has a pretty big presence here.
It does. This is growing pains. We have had an embarrassment of riches in this state in terms of growth, population, jobs, and there's some anxiety around that. There's some folks who don't want things to change, and I understand that. I mean, this Scottsdale is modernizing and changing. I've gone on the tour of Axon. I mean, this is a company that is engaged in trying to protect the lives of public safety officers. It's a great company that we should be proud of. I'm hopeful this could be sorted out. I think Adam Quasman on the Scottsdale Council is someone who's a real leader and could be the person to bring both sides together and make this work. At the end of the day, as it relates to this lawsuit, I mean, as Ronald Reagan said, the states created the federal government. And I would add to that, the states also created local government. And so, you know, the state does have the ability through the legislature and the legislative process to do things like this. The cities are political subdivisions of the state. So I'm not an attorney, but I think that ultimately, you know, there's going to be lawsuits. It would be great if folks could get at the table and come to a resolution that keeps a fantastic company that's not only providing jobs, but it's actually engaged in really good work and figure out how to make it work with the community's desires.
Jason, on a practical level, even though the city is not the entity that is filing the lawsuit, it's this other group, does the fact that a lawsuit has been filed affect the chance for a negotiated settlement in any way?
I don't think so, because you can certainly have those conversations while the lawsuit is going on. I think the biggest impact from the lawsuit is other companies looking at what is going on with Exxon, right? It's not just about Exxon. It's a bigger question, because more companies are looking at Arizona. More companies want to relocate here, and they're going, not only am I going to have to deal with your normal permitting process, but now do I need to anticipate court cases to wade my way through before I can get up and running?
I completely agree with that. What companies want is certainty. Arizona has been really good at providing that. This kind of thing is the opposite. It's, you know, companies don't want to get pulled into the politics of the moment or whatnot. So I do think that if this isn't resolved soon, it really can create a ripple effect. And you've seen the same. I mean, look, Tucson kicked a company out the door. And you've seen what happened in Glendale and other places. This is not a good look. You do not want to be signaling that we don't want jobs. And look at what's happened in other states. That's why these people are coming here, by the way. So we don't want to go down that road.
All right. So speaking of entities that have left the Valley, the Arizona Coyotes, yeah. We're a hockey team here. Yeah. They left a couple of years ago. There's now an effort led by Maricopa County Supervisors Chairman Tom Galvin to bring the NHL back mm-hmm. to the Valley. Of course, they need to find a place to play. They need to find an ownership group to the issues that led them to leave in the first place. Daniel, I'm curious, just sort of from a political level, like, how do you see this as an sort of an issue, as a cause for someone, you know, an elected official like Tom Galvin?
I think it's great. It's so refreshing. I think what Tom is bringing to the board, focused on economic development issues like this. Look, we want to live in a cool place, and we, you know, this is a real city now, and it has changed a lot in the last 20 years. And so, yeah, we should have we should be making a play for these things. So I like that he is elevating the Board of Supervisors and his position to one where they're engaged in these discussions and trying to get cool things to our state. I think it's awesome.
Is this a good political issue, one that sort of – it seems like it's one that would sort of transcend partisanship.
I hope it would, right? To your point, I think this is about making Phoenix be that big city atmosphere. Big cities have national sports teams. This is the types of things that people think about with these cities. This is what they identify with. Phoenix is big enough. We need to have NHL hockey here in the Valley, and I wish them the best of luck in making it happen.
Is there – the potential for political challenges down the road, though, especially in terms of finding a place to play and how the arena will be built and how it will be paid for, where it will be built. Like, is there a danger of there being some kind of issues with that down the road, Jason?
Well, as we go down the road, so where, right? Look, if Exxon was putting their facility somewhere else, they might not be having all these issues. So now we're getting to all of the details where some of the issues might start coming out. Where do you want to put it? How much is it going to cost? What's your plan around that? Look, they have time to put all that together and come up with those answers so that they can package this in the best way possible for the electorate to really welcome a team.
Is this the kind of issue, Daniel, that might be better served to be sort of a regional, like a valley-wide kind of coalition, as opposed to City X versus City Y versus City Z, you know, figuring out, you know, what might be the best spot for an arena, you know, what kind of incentives might they be able to get, that kind of thing?
I mean, yes, in an ideal world. The problem is we've seen at the local level, you know, more partisanship. And I think, you know, you've seen some of the extremes take hold, which is part of why the Coyotes left in the first place. So I think that Tom is in the unique position to elevate this discussion above that. And so that probably makes the most sense right now.
All right, very quickly, just a couple of minutes left. I want to get both of your takes on the sort of the position which Attorney General Chris Mayes finds mm-hmm. herself now as it relates to the case of these so-called fake electors. Basically, a judge has said that they will not – the Court of Appeals did not reinstate the indictment against these folks. Daniel, obviously with the caveat, we're not lawyers in this room. Mm-hmm. If you were an advisor to Chris Mayes, what would you suggest she do?
If I was an advisor to Chris Mayes – which I'm not, but I would say, listen, in 2022, there was an 8-point Republican turnout advantage, and you basically won in a tie. the reason that you won, that Katie Hobbs won, is because a bunch of Republicans voted for you. And everything you've done since being elected has pushed those voters away. You're positioned yourself as the most progressive Democrat in the state, and you're not going to win re-election unless you drop this stuff. You've got to be focused on governing and doing your job, not on these more political lawsuits and just, you know, having Trump derangement syndrome.
Jason, I suspect the advice you would give Attorney General Mays, were you an advisor, would be maybe slightly different than what Daniel would advise?
Just a little bit. Looking at the case, and by the way, I am an attorney, even though I don't practice. So I just play one occasionally. But looking at the case, I mean, obviously what was being said here is you got to go back and start from the beginning. It's not necessarily saying that she doesn't have a case. It's saying we want you to go back and get in front of the grand jury and give them a little bit more information you didn't do previously. So if I was advised, let's do that. Let's have that conversation. I think this is a conversation that the Attorney General continues to want to have. I think it's a strong conversation for Democrats to have. People tried to just step into the process and take over what's going on in our election. If we are true and committed to election integrity, this is something that we should be pursuing.
All right. We'll have to leave it there, guys. Jason Peraza, Daniel Scarpinato, thanks you both for the conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Friday Newscap from KJZZ's The Show. It's an original podcast recapping the week's biggest stories with experts, commentators, and reporters. You can get the full show podcast at podcast.kjzz.org. I'm Mark Brody. Thanks for listening.